Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Lord, how good you are to us. I pray that you will bless our time today as we continue to look at your providence, your care over your people and the entire world. And Lord, this perspective does help in our walk with you. And I pray that you'll guide and direct in all that's said now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we are looking at the providence of God using the book on that very subject, which is allowing us to deal with subjects that we often don't talk about in any detail. And so I found this to be a helpful study. And we've looked at God's providence in general. We looked at his providence over weather, which is just a great help in understanding the power and working of God. And now we are going to look at the providence of God and sickness. Next week we'll look at healing. And so these are things now that relate to us on a very personal level. And we need to just have a good, healthy look at this matter of sickness. We have become a little more aware of it because of the crisis a few years ago. And I won't even touch that subject. But sickness is something, of course, that has been dominant in the world ever since the fall. And we need to understand that sickness is part of human existence. It is part of our fallen state. There was no sickness prior to the fall. We don't know how long Adam and Eve were alive prior to the fall. But once Satan caused them to exercise their will against the direct command of God, they fell and the whole earth was cursed. And we know at the time that they were created, they were extremely healthy and extremely strong. And even with the fall and the curse, you had all the way up to the flood, they lived almost a millennia. That's pretty amazing. I believe there are two reasons for that. Number one, mankind was still in the healthy state of creation, and illness wasn't as pervasive initially as it is now. Secondly, I think the flood took away the protective vapor canopy, whatever you want to call it, that with the sun's rays and all of that has protected, and that was part of the Garden of Eden. In fact, when Noah built the ark, the idea of rain wasn't something I believe that they even understood. And so rain and all of that came, and the protective canopy was taken away. The ultraviolet rays and other aspects of the atmosphere being changed, I believe, brought in the 70 limitation of mankind, and if by strength, 10 more, and so forth. So it is God had to humble mankind. If you knew you're going to live another 900 years, it'd be very easy not to be serious about things. And it's amazing how many people, it's estimated that there may have been 2 billion people or more on the planet at the time of the fall, and that technology may have been as advanced as ours, maybe in different areas, but it was definitely genetic engineering was going on by Satan's help, and there was all kinds of things, and it was so bad God had to just destroy. And of course, as we see today, AI and other scientific genetic altering and so forth going on, we realize that as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the time of the coming of the Lord. And so we obviously don't know how long, and it still could be quite a while, but it certainly does sober us as we look at that. And so as the human race has gone on, it has frankly become more weakened as we've gone on, and so it's amazing to me. It's by God's mercy that the human race has not been wiped out. I really believe it's because of the cross that we are still in existence, and God has continued to put the protective hand, because don't you think Satan would have endeavored to do far worse, as bad as certain plagues have been and so forth. And so as we look at this matter of sickness, we need to understand there's a far bigger picture than I've got a cold, okay? There's just the fact that we as human beings do live on a cursed planet, and we're going to look at how God can use the, the potential of sickness, which every one of us faces. Not a person in here that doesn't face that. However, we do face greater crises, some than others. I just had a pastor text me a couple days ago, pray for me, I've got to go to my church tonight. My wife has aggressive cancer. They're only in their 40s, and so you can imagine, he's got a great church, and what he is going through at this point. So sometimes sickness takes front and center in our lives, and we need to have the right attitude about it. And let me just say this. We have to just come up with the reality, and not in a morbid way, but in a healthy biblical way, that death is part of the human existence. We have Enoch that was translated, and I believe Moses actually died and was buried, but there's different varying views on that. Elijah was taken, and that's it. I mean, death is, as in Adam, all die. And so as believers, as we do face the inevitable aging and the matters of illness, we don't need to take that as something that is so frustrating and bad and not fair. It is part of our existence. And remember, if you're saved, this speck on the eternal timeline isn't even a speck. You can't even see it on the eternal timeline. And so God has a purpose for us here, and we're going to see God uses sickness to accomplish His purpose, but we ought not get frustrated, because He has provided for us an eternity of life without sickness, life with fullness of living. He's given us an opportunity to enjoy life to the fullest forever and ever and ever. And so as believers, one of the first things that I need to stress here is that we don't need to get frustrated with God or life. It's harder on some people than others. Some people live with RA, rheumatoid arthritis, and people have no idea the pain and the pressure that they go through. It's sort of a hidden thing. Some here probably have diabetic conditions. That's a far worse situation than people know, and you have to suffer with that. Some of you are battling high blood pressure, or you're battling just other things that are somewhat hidden. There's just a variety of things. You think of how many different types of medicine are practiced today. It shows you the many varying ways, okay? I notice a lot of glasses around here, okay? Well, that means that your eyes aren't exactly 20/20, okay? Or contacts that I can't maybe point out that you have contacts. And you know, on and on I could go. And I don't want to get depressing, folks, okay? I'm trying to give you encourage. It is part of life. And you know, a believer, honestly, can approach these things with a smile. It means that the Bible's true. And I'm on my way to glory. And the resurrection of the body is going to occur. And I need to take anything that God's allowing in my life and ask Him to use it for His glory. And so it's a theological point I'm trying to make right now. And that's what she's trying to make. Is the fact that that this is part of life. Now, I've got good news. If you know Christ as your Savior, you do not face the second death. And that, of course, is separation from God forever. And so we have instead eternal life. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. John 11:25-26. And if you're here and don't know the Lord, you're not going to beat the system. You've got to know Christ as your Savior. I'm amazed how people think they can beat the system. You can't do it. You know, I feel really sorry for these billionaires and all that pay so much money to try to live a couple of years longer. It's amazing. And you read some about celebrities and some of the things they do, their own personal doctors. You know what? They all die. It just is the way it is. In fact, they are miserable usually when they die, which is tragic. All right, let's look mainly here today as we're looking at the providence of God. God is over all and God is working his purpose for sickness. And so the perspective I've already been giving to you is we will get sick. Okay. Now, I am a firm believer in doing everything you can not to have illness. I think we ought to take care of our bodies. It's the temple of the Holy Spirit. I believe it is right for us to stay strong so we can serve the Lord, because this is a time in eternity that is very, very precious, because we won't get to serve the Lord like we get to now. So we need to take care of ourselves. I believe we ought to eat right. I have learned a lot about that. We are what we eat, and we need to hydrate ourselves. We need to have deep cycle sleep, and whatever needs to be done to have deep cycle sleep and enough of it needs to be worked on, because that's the way our bodies get regenerated and are able to be strong. I am for the right kind of help with supplements and other things that are legitimate that can help us. So I do think we ought to try to fend off illness as much as we can. And honestly, we need to keep our immune systems up. So I'm not here to be a health practitioner and talk about that right now. I'll let my wife do that. But anyway, I was talking, who was I talking to? It was Brother Shaver yesterday, and we were just talking about, man, men would be in deep trouble if it wasn't for wives keeping them healthy. You know, I am still here because of my wife, but I'm very thankful for that. Now, God has many different ways that he convicts us. That's the primary way he works when we're needing to grow in the Lord. And he has ways of doing it. But it does seem that oftentimes illness is one of the ways that God works in chastening us in correcting us, in working in our lives. Now, let me just say right now that illness is not always, and most of the times it is not chastening. It's just part of life, okay? And God will use it for good. But sometimes God is wanting to do things. And so you see God dealing with maladies in the Old Testament. The Egyptians got hit with physical problems. You had the Lord sending a plague that killed 14,700 Israelites as a punishment for their idolatry and immorality. And then Deuteronomy, the nation of Israel was warned that if they went away from God, plagues would be part of the problems that they would face, and they certainly did. And the way it is even talked about, it sounds a lot like the typical flu and in a very serious case. And God does use sickness. And by the way, even if it's not directly chastening, it ought always be seen as an opportunity to humble us and to help us. I remember when my son, well, I didn't have the illness, but my son had the brain tumor. The question was immediately asked, is this God? Is this Satan? And as I've said before, it doesn't really matter. Just like the thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet me, and yet it was God that allowed it to happen, and yet Satan was the one that did it. And so it doesn't really matter. But I knew very quickly on God was working in my life. I had no doubt about it. And what made it really hard, it was hard to see my wife and my son suffer because God was working with me. And so I immediately got with my father and who we were working together at the time. And I wanted to learn everything God wanted me to learn. And I'm reminded all the time when I see him and what his limitations are that, God's very serious about a serving God. He's very serious about the work of the Lord. He's very serious about the ministry that he has for each one of us. And so it is a time in which we are humbled. Psalm 38, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. Neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. I have roared by reason of the disquietness of my heart. Well, very clearly, David knew that he was being dealt with. And you had Jehoram died of a prolonged agonizing disease. And one of the most sobering passages is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I sometimes refer to it when we are taking the Lord's Supper. And those that take lightly the death of Christ and are in carnal attitudes within a church body, and it definitely disrupts the table of the Lord, we're to examine ourselves, and it says in verse 29, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you." There it is, directly. "And many sleep." I've had the privilege of being in the ministry, first with my father in the sense that I was a PK, and then, of course, directly in the ministry out of seminary. And I know this to be true. I don't talk about it a lot, but I grieve at times. But I also know that God knows what he's doing, working in people's lives. And it says that people even die. And I'll never forget when a couple of people opposed my dad. It wasn't long, they were gone. Now, I don't know everything. I was just a kid, but it was very sobering to me. And we do need to realize God is, and it's all for our good. He never does it in judgment. Where were we judged? At the cross. So remember that. It's not judgment, and it's chastening. And what is chastening for? For restoration, for teaching, for bringing into fellowship, okay? It's what church discipline is for. Those of you part of our church here, you don't realize how much church discipline we do. But it's not brought public because the purpose of the church discipline has been productive. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. And so I'm glad that we haven't had to do that for a little while. But it's not that it's not going on. That's why you need to pray for the deacons and pastoral leadership of a church, that they have wisdom along that line. But it's all for restoration, and God wants to restore. It's all good. It's not bad. And we need to see it from that standpoint. Now, the next one is spiritual growth. A lot of times, God just allows the normal course of life to take hold. And if we're walking with him, every time you go through illness, difficulties, it is always an opportunity for us to take steps of faith to get closer to the Lord. Now, I want to warn you, sometimes when you're in the throes of an illness, you don't feel very spiritual, okay? But you do need to, you need to mark down what you're learning and what God's teaching you. I remember Steve Melius. Anybody remember Steve Melius? Okay, well, a number of you do. Well, Steve was a godly young man, died of cancer, and people would say, "Isn't it wonderful you get to spend this time there in the hospital alone with the Lord?" He said, "Are you kidding? I'm so miserable. I can't think straight." But he said, "God is doing a work in my heart." And so I just want to mention that. Don't feel bad if you're going through an illness and are feeling bad. That's what illnesses do. Okay, that's what maladies do. But you can be thinking and you can be learning. And isn't it humbling that something we can't see, a virus or a bacteria, can knock us down? You know, we think we got it made. We think we're in control. God can, you know, boom, just a moment we can be down. I mentioned how I was with Brother Rick Savage this last week, and he had a very major neck surgery down into his back. That itself was bad, but he got MRSA and other bacteria, and when you have all that metal in there and so forth, it is a bad deal. And I brought to the church and to our prayer times that he was really hours from dying. All of his vitals went down. He was about gone, and God raised him up. There's no doubt about it. But I can see in his own life, I've known him and been with him periodically over the years, and just to see the growth in his wife, and I mean, you wouldn't have thought they needed growth, but you can just tell it, and you can tell it in the church. That's the easiest time I've ever had to preach in a church. I mean, it was just a glorious 4 days, 5 days that I had there. and very thankful for that. But that's, you know, that's tough. But they looked at us, and of course his wife never left his side for weeks and weeks and weeks, but they looked at us and said, "The Lord is good, we're rejoicing. You know, it's worth it all. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And really does stir you when you see people have that that kind of perspective. Blessed is a man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teaches him out of thy law. Psalm 94, 12. And so when you have the different illnesses come, whatever the purpose may be, by the way, you know, we all need to be corrected all the time. Would you agree with me? So it isn't, it's correction and growth actually almost merge in my mind. To think that I've arrived and I don't need correction, I mean, that's pride to the utmost. I always need correction. I always need growth. You take Job, and the testimony of Job is always so interesting. And the Lord said to Satan that Job was, let me just read it here. And the Lord, by the way, brought this up, not Satan. The Lord said, "Have thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Now, that would be a pretty nice testimony from God to Satan on your behalf, wouldn't it? That'd be a pretty amazing testimony. And yet God brought it up. And God knows how Satan's going to react. And so Satan gets permission to touch the body of Job. And you talk about bring him down. How'd you like to lose every one of your kids, lose every bit of possessions you have, and then have a sickness that nobody even wanted to be around you? It was so repugnant, and it was so painful. It stunk. It was just bad. I mean, that's about as low as you can get, okay? And God allowed that to happen. And when you look at this, you think, well, why did God do that? Well, in chapter 3, verse 25, I noticed this a few months ago, when Job first answers his comforters, they really were tormentors, really, but as he's talking to them, you get a little window on why God allowed this, because God wanted him to grow. And verse 25 says, and this is Job speaking, "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Ah, Job had some fear and lack of trust. There was more self-centeredness here. See, Satan said, he didn't do this for nothing. He hasn't served you for nothing. Look how you've blessed him. Now, Job was upright. God gives a great testimony of him. But you know, we have secret motives in the heart, and God wanted that to be totally out. And so this testing, Satan, in some senses, was right. And because Job's saying, you know, "I always feared." Well, if he feared that he would lose things, that meant that they meant something to him. And by the time he gets restored at the end and calls God, sees God for who he is and totally humbles himself and realizes what a wretch he is and puts his full trust in God, his attitude is totally different. And God blesses him. I can tell you right after that he didn't have fear anymore. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. He had the wisdom to say that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But God brought him to a place that he could actually say it. You know, we can say it, sort of mean it, but not fully mean it. And you say, well, that was pretty tough what God allowed Job to go through. If Job was here right now, he'd say, "Ladies, it was worth every bit of it for the sake of the glory of God and for what I needed." So that's important for us to see. For God's glory, sometimes it is very much a platform to glorify God. And did not Job's response turn out to be for his glory? Here I am in 2024, okay? Job was before Abraham, which is 4,000 years ago. We don't know exactly when Job was. It's probably the earliest book written. Well, 4,000 plus years ago, here I am 4,000 years later, and what are we doing? Glorifying God for His marvelous wisdom, His miraculous grace. And so the Lord was able to use that for His glory. And Job's faith held, and that became a great encouragement for other people to believe God. And it's important. Now, we're going to look at healings next week. What's the right way to look at it? And that's a tricky subject. But glory should be given to God through the trial, not when the trial is over. That's where the greatest glory. Aren't you greatly helped by a believer that's going through a trial that is really walking with God, that has a sweet balance? It's not that they're sort of escaping what they're going through. They're settled, and their testimony is clear. It's sweet. It's honest. It's not easy, but you are very much helped, and the glory of God comes by what they went through. And you always appreciate that. I see that much because I have the privilege of being with people at the death of their loved ones, or through critical illness of loved ones, or the person's going through it. And I am blessed all the time. And you know, it's always a joy to come to the funeral of a godly person or godly relatives, because it always does glorify the Lord. You know, I mean, it's a huge blessing. I get stirred, and I'm helped by every funeral that I get to be a part of, because if indeed that's the case, the people are walking with God, because what they've gone through will glorify the Lord. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. In other words, the Lord will work in our lives and bring glory to Him. And it really does, you know, every time you get over a cold and feel good again, you need to say, Lord, you know, it's amazing, my body works. That's great. Thank you for delivering. Or sometimes we ought to think, when a little bit of a plague goes through and you didn't get sick, you need to say, Lord, thank you, how good you are. But when you are going through it, praise the Lord and thank the Lord and just give Him glory, and realize that God's trusting you with a thorn in the flesh. If some of you have long-term illnesses or maladies that may be with you a long time, thank the Lord and glorify Him, because your attitude and the growing that will occur will truly glorify the Lord. And so we need to accept those things and be thankful for them. Every one of us, right now, we could just go through all of our malady history. Okay, you know, when you go to the hospital, all right, how many operations have you had? You know, what conditions have you had? You got to fill out the thing. It's so frustrating, because you have one doctor come in, and then another one comes in, and you got to give the same story over and over, and you realize, you know, this has really been bad, you know, or it's really been good. I haven't had too many. For a while there, I was able to say, yeah, I was hardly, so I got to go over. Yeah, I had kidney stones several times, you know, and I had lithotripsy on that. Thankfully, that's been years ago now, but it's sort of humbling when you go. It's just a good reminder. But we would have our histories, wouldn't we? And if not us, you've got somebody close to you that has a history of it. And so we need to understand, this is life. How are we responding to it? Do we see God's good hand? Do we believe He knows what He's doing? Are we allowing Him to develop us and grow us like He wants to do? Are we totally trusting Him through it? Are we rejoicing in His goodness? Is His grace sufficient? These are really important things. And let me just say this, that when you respond to the illnesses or the maladies or whatever that come into your life, and you let God work and you rejoice in them, you come to a place you don't fear the future. I'm amazed how many Christians fear the future. We honestly have nothing to fear. I mean, death is our friend. You know, we're going to be with the Lord. And any illness that God allows, as hard as it may be, will be used for His glory. He will always be with us. In our weakest moments, He makes His presence even sweeter. And some of the people that have gone through the most, they marvel in how God was with them during those times. And so God is pleased, as I preached on Sunday night, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so if we go through illnesses truly understanding the providence of God, then we have fear. See, love will overcome fear. Your life will become about others, not yourself. It'll become about God and not yourself, because fear is self-centeredness. And so I just want to encourage us to realize that illness, God's right there. He knows you. He knows what you're going through. Now take care of yourself. Be wise. God will give you wisdom on how to take care of things. Get good advice if you have something. Don't just do what the first doctor says. Make sure you have the wisdom on what you should do. God will give you wisdom and all that. He'll take care of you. But all of it will work together for a wonderful development of your life, having you grow, and you can be a glory to others and encourage their faith. So let's don't live in fear. I hate to tell you, the future holds problems for all of us, okay, humanly speaking. But the future holds blessing if we look at it from a spiritual standpoint. Do you believe that? You need to. You really need to. Because you don't need to live worrying about what's ahead. Thank God for today. And thank God for each day that God gives you strength. So interesting. Again, I wouldn't probably cover this quite like we have, but I appreciate her emphasis on that. And we'll look at how to approach illnesses from a different perspective next week. So I'll let you go ahead and have your table time there.